Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, it's Ron Cook back on Radio Row for the Post-Gazette, and I'm joined by a guy who I go back with a long time. He covered the Bengals in Cincinnati in the 1980s when I was covering the Steelers at the late, great Pittsburgh Press. I'm talking about Peter King of NBC Sports. He's obviously gone on from there. I'm kind of a nobody by comparison. But, Peter, thanks for taking a minute to sit down. I appreciate it.
Oh, Ron, it's great. Thank you so much. I love the Berg.
You might imagine all the rage is still about Antonio Brown. There's been no resolution. As far as anyone knows, Peter, he has not talked to anybody in the organization, maybe a teammate, but we haven't heard that. It just goes on and on. If you're a betting man now, do you feel like he's going to be back with the Steelers?
I asked Tony Dungy 1 week ago today for my podcast. I said, how do you think the Antonio Brown thing shakes out? And obviously he knows the Steelers. He knows Mike Tomlin very well. He goes, I just feel like they're going to fix it. I feel like they're going to let the thing die down and they'll come to a resolution. But as he knows, in the words of Bill Parcells, you don't sell insurance for stuff like that. And you just don't know. It's very hard to predict. I would just say this, Ron. The Steelers are one of these organizations and have been for years and years and years that there are storm clouds and everybody outside the organization. I'll never forget going to training camp the year after the Steelers went 6-10. And they gave Bill Cowher a contract extension. I said to Dan Rooney, Dan, I'm not asking you this question because I feel you don't know what you're doing. I know you know what you're doing. But why would you do this? If he goes 4-12 this year, aren't you going to have to make a coaching change? And he goes, Peter, that's not how we do things in Pittsburgh. You should know that by now. And what happens? They go 15-1, get knocked out of the playoffs. Next year, go whatever, 13-3, whatever it was, and go and win the Super Bowl. But I've often thought this about the Steelers. And, Ron, I was thinking about this the other day. Sunday, 50th anniversary of the hiring of Chuck Knoll. The rest of the in that period of time, the Steelers have had three coaches. The rest of the league have had 393. And there's a reason why the Steelers, even though it's maddening to a lot of people, and a lot of people really want Mike Tomlin to go. It's obvious. You can hear it. You feel it. Before this year, you even heard it. They want Tomlin to go. But the Steelers just don't do the popular thing. They don't do that. And that's one of the reasons why if you asked me to put a dollar down in Vegas right now, I would guess that he would go. But the reason why I would never, ever try to predict what will happen with this story is very simple. The Steelers are not like any other organization. And I think at some point, may have happened already by now, it may happen in 3 weeks, I don't know, that Mike Tomlin very quietly is going to sneak down to Florida. And there's going to be a meeting at, you know, in some quiet little out-of-the-way place, a restaurant, a hotel, something, between he and Antonio Brown. And they're going to figure out, can we coexist? And if we sign Antonio Brown for 16 games, is he going to show up for all 16? And I think knowing the Steelers, that would be my prediction. At some point, there would be one of these huge confabs. We're not going to hear about it. We're not going to know about it until well after it happens.
Peter, my belief, and I think a lot of other people in Pittsburgh, is that Mike Tomlin, and with help from Art Rooney too, created this monster by letting this guy get away with everything. Even a couple years ago after the Facebook Live in Kansas City when they signed Brown to the richest contract for a wide receiver, Art goes, he's just giving us some little annoyances, emphasis on little. What's not little annoyances now? How does Tomlin regain control of Antonio and regain control of the team if Antonio stays?
In my opinion, and look, this is me. It's a little bit old-fashioned, Ron.
No, I'm old-fashioned too, Peter.
But it's a little bit old-fashioned, but in my opinion, the only way that it can work, honestly, the only way it can work is if Antonio Brown agrees on the first day of minicamp, mandatory minicamp, to go to the front of the team meeting room and say, guys, what's past is past. He doesn't have to profusely apologize, but he's got to acknowledge in some way that what happened in the last week of last year is intolerable, is totally unprofessional and unacceptable, and will never happen again. He has to do that. If Mike Tomlin just starts it again and he comes back, that is unacceptable. And so in my opinion, when you look at it, I would just look at it and say, if he does not do something to sort of rein Antonio Brown back in, then they should get rid of him.
I just, I've been told he leads the league in apologies, that he'll run the wrong route Sunday and apologize on Monday, throw a fit on the field on Sunday, apologize to the team on Monday. Can you take,
but here's the question,
can you take
Ron,
him seriously?
Here's the question. Starting this year, okay, you just tell him that, you know, you are facing Mariano Rivera and you got two strikes on you right now. Every pitch that comes is a potential strikeout. You do one more thing wrong, you're gone. That's it. We're not taking it anymore. If you're willing to come back. You know what I always heard? You know, Aditi Kinkabwala, the reporter for NFL Network, she was on my podcast about a month ago, and she has told me a few things about Brown that were really interesting. One of them is that, I guess, he's got a John Stallworth jersey that is really significant to him. And this John Stallworth jersey to him represents a guy who did things the right way and who went to Super Bowls and was in the Hall of Fame. And he did it all as a member of the Steelers, where as a receiver in a lot of years, it wasn't always the easiest thing to do. And they have the nucleus right now to be a Super Bowl team. If they get rid of all of this stuff that always is spewing around the team. So, and I'm not saying he wouldn't want to get traded. I'm just saying
he sent out a picture of himself in a 49ers jersey the other day.
Yeah. And so, in my opinion, I think that's why you have to let all of this die down. Let all of this immature behavior, all of it, let it all die down. And then when you let it all die down, then you figure out, honestly, what's the best thing for our franchise? Because, Ron, you know, the one thing is, I would just say this. Man, I would question you, put him out on the market. What are you getting for Antonio Brown? I'm not saying that there won't be two or three teams that will really try to get him. But again, and I'm, you know, I'm not, I don't know what the offers will be. But I would speculate if you're, say, the New York Jets, where I think the New York Jets would be in. I think the New York Jets could be interested in both Bell and Brown, honestly. They got $1 jillion in cap room, and they have a coach who thinks he can handle anything in Adam Gase. Maybe he can, maybe he can't. My only point, I guess, is that if I look at the landscape right now, if I look at what's going on in the NFL right now, the one thing I say is that even with all the headaches he caused, he makes a difference in whether you win or lose a football game. That can't be discounted. So, in my opinion, I think there would be some interest in him, but his price tag is not going to be what anybody in Pittsburgh would be happy with. Maybe a low one, because I think everybody just fears who he is.
Our guest is Peter King from NBC Sports. And, Peter, you mentioned Mike Tomlin. The Steelers' way is to give a coach a contract extension with 2 years left. Normally, it should be coming up this July. They usually do it right around training camp. He has faced more criticism than I can ever remember. Obviously, he's won 3 playoff games since 2010, which in Pittsburgh isn't good enough for the fans. And B, the way this whole Antonio thing develops. Do you think the Steelers should extend him like they normally do? And if they don't, what kind of a story will that be sending?
You know, that's a good question. I realize that is going to be out there. But I also would realize something else. I honestly thought if I were John Harbaugh this year, I would not have wanted to sign an extension, because I would want to bet on myself the same way that Joe Flacco did. If I were Mike Tomlin, I'd go to Art Rooney and I would say, listen, if you have questions about me, really, don't do it. And I'll just say at the start of training camp, look, we have to be about results here with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We didn't do well enough last year. If we do well enough this year, I'll be here for a long time. But let's not make this a bigger story than it is. And so it's a 1 or 2 day story and life moves on. Now, maybe it'll continue to get brought up. You never know. But I guess I just look at this. And I say, let's figure out, quite honestly, what's the most important thing for this team at this time. And I think that's one of those things that just because they've done that for 100 years doesn't mean they have to do it this year. And the much more important thing in their scenario is we got to figure out Antonio Brown first. Then we'll worry about the other stuff.
Peter, what is the perception nationally of the Steelers organization? You go back, you knew Art Rooney Sr.
Yep.
And you obviously had a great relationship with Dan, and I'm not sure they're both not rolling in their graves a little bit with what's been going on.
I believe that Dan Rooney would not have allowed this to happen. And I believe that Art Rooney II is still getting his sea legs at how to manage a major crisis like this. Just me from the outside. I don't know. I'm not there.
Do people nationally look at the Steelers as kind of a circus right now?
Right now, yes. No question about it. Because this should not – you're playing a playoff implication game. And we can talk about the reasons and everything like that, but the fact is the Steelers almost lost that game. They easily could have lost that game. And what would have happened if they lost that game and Antonio Brown, who was very much healthy enough to play, was sitting on the sidelines basically probably cackling because, A, they lost, B, it showed how much they missed him, C, everybody's favorite Steeler, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster, didn't have a big game. What would have happened then? That would have been a full-blown disaster, 50% more than what's going on right now. So, yeah, I think people look at it, and they look at it as a circus.
I even wonder what would have happened if they'd have lost that game and the Browns would have beat Baltimore.
Of course.
Or how about if they win that game, the Browns win, you could just go right back to them again, put them back in the lineup for
good
the playoff
question.
Game?
Very good
That's
question.
What would have been fascinating.
Yeah.
And what would that have been a message to the rest of the team?
Very good question. They would have had to bring them back, in my opinion. The object of the game is to win. I mean, Tomlin has proven time and again, and this is to deal with after the season. But Tomlin's proven time and again that he'll bend over farther than backwards, to make sure that Antonio Brown is on the field.
Real quickly, we've got a couple minutes left with Peter King of NBC Sports. You mentioned Le'Veon Bell. I don't think there's any way the Steelers even contemplate bringing him back. I guess they could tag him.
Ron, here's the thing.
Trade him. What happens to him?
Here's the thing about Le'Veon Bell. You know, in 2017, arguably the two best backs in football, and I mean, this is a dumb way to look at it, but two of the best backs in football were the 67th and 86th picks in the draft. Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt wins the rushing title after being picked late in the third round. This year, story after story after story after story of not only James Conner, but look at the Los Angeles Rams. Look at C.J. Anderson. He walks onto this team with a good offensive line. In the first three games he plays for him, he gains over 120 yards. I mean, so you tell me, I mean, how valuable, if I'm a team right now, and look, if I'm Chris Ballard or the Indianapolis Colts, you know what I'm doing? I'm waiting this out. I'm trying to get him for 45 cents on the dollar on June 2nd. Because he's going to be, you know, upset that he's not getting the money he's worth. I think when I look at it, the only two teams that I think have a chance to pay him significant money are Tampa Bay and the New York Jets.
Does he ever recoup what he lost?
I don't think.
14 and a half million.
No way. Look, he'll never say this, but I can tell you this. Ron, 10 years from now, Le'Veon Bell will be trying to become a grandmaster in chess. You know, it's a weird story when I tell people what a crazy chess player Le'Veon Bell is. I've seen it too many times to count. But Le'Veon Bell loves chess. I think he's going to look back in 10 years. And he's going to, you know, he's going to say, well, let's see. I've got $45 million in the bank for my football career. I could have had 60. Why did I do that? And maybe he's the type of athlete who always says it was somebody else's fault, so I never will think about that. I think he'll think about it.
Last thing before I let you go, you're on the Hall of Fame vote. People were hoping for Alan Faneca. You have a good feel about him this year?
I just was on in Tennessee, and you know what they said? How can you possibly not put Kevin Mowai in the Hall of Fame?
And I'm hearing that about Baselli,
Hutchinson. I said if I was on in Jacksonville, they'd say the same thing. If I was on in Seattle and Minnesota, they would say, oh, isn't Steve Hutchinson a slam dunk? I'm on in Denver. I get beat up by Denver more than any human being on the planet. It's part of the thing. But Denver wants to know. They already assume that Bolin is in. They already assume Champ Bailey is in. Oh, my God, you got to put Atwater in. Not what? I mean, there's 15 people. Tony Gonzalez and Ed Reed are locks. Beyond that, there's three spots for 13 guys. I think one offensive lineman is going to get in. And I think absolutely unequivocally Alan Faneca is a Hall of Fame football player. But this year, I'm just telling you my opinion, the number one guy on my list on the offensive line is Tony Baselli, because I think even though his career wasn't as long as the other three guys, he was the best at his job for a long enough period of time to be a Hall of Fame football player. It's taken me a while to come to that conclusion, but that's how I feel. Having said that, if any one of those four guys comes up and is a finalist, is the final five, I'm voting for him. I believe they all deserve to be Hall of Famers.
Now, you real quickly, you said Ed Reed, a first ballot lock. Is Troy Polamalu going to
be that way too? Lock.
You said Ed Reed was. Like,
yeah, but to me he is. But Ron, I have to tell you something. Every year I walk into that room and I write down my guys who I think are getting in that year. I've done this for 26 years. I've never been right once. Never. I'm right about several guys. I've never got the whole list. Ever. And that's why I always tell people, just be careful. It seems to me that Ed Reed's a lock. Seems to me that Tony Gonzalez is a lock. And then after that, it's all going to be mayhem.
Peter, I know you got to run. Thank you so much for stopping by, man. We go back a long way.
Sounds great. Thank you.
I appreciate it. All right, Peter King of NBC Sports.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.